You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. The talented Victor Ariza, part of the Soccer Matters staff, just reminded me, go to GlennDavisSoccer.com. If you want to tie in tonight's show, there's a list of Ramirez Dynamo goals there, other articles, the nephew interview on the Astrodome, and Light It Up Blue. So get there. Big thanks to Advantage BMW Midtown and our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They get soccer on the airwaves and gives us the opportunity to visit. Well, this guy is the standard bearer when it comes to play-by-play announcers in the history of the sport in this country. No question. Elected to the Hall of Fame. Some of the most iconic calls in U.S. soccer history. And, of course, 25 straight years calling Major League Soccer. Glad to call him a friend. He's JP Della Camera. He joins us now. How are you, JP?
I'm doing, Glenn. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Are you... You're not doing any coffee this late, are you?
No. You're the coffee champion. I might be a runner-up, but my last cup is usually early afternoon. Otherwise, I won't be able to sleep.
Let me tell you something. You have to talk to Mark Connolly, your great friend, who's a tremendously talented researcher. He will tell you that he has been amazed at how far I've cut back on my coffee. I think it's because a producer, Todd Kulish, yelled at me when I was over-caffeinated.
That could happen. Happens to the best
believe,
of us, right?
I got a better grip on it now, though. So I'm waking up without coffee these days anyways. So first of all, I just want to check in with you. How are you doing? How's your family doing? And just kind of get the lay of the land that way.
Well, luckily, fortunately, I say my family's doing great. I know of some people that are not, and my heart bleeds for them. I know someone that lost a couple of people and could have lost two more due to this coronavirus. While you and I are talking about this, I'm sure it's the same where you are, Glenn, but, you know, our doctors, our nurses, our military personnel, the volunteers, they have done an exceptional job here, and I think people are starting to appreciate more what these people do.
Yeah, shouldn't they be our new norm of real heroes? Honestly, I hope we don't lose that.
Absolutely, yes.
We can't miss that opportunity with this because you're right. It's pretty ridiculous. We actually lost a great friend today who hadn't woken up in 2.5 weeks. A man named Bill Cohen. From the Westchester area. He was in the White Plains Hospital. Just one of the greatest guys ever and absolutely has broken my family's heart. Let's get back to broadcasting and kind of your career. And just take me through, like, where did your influence come to become a play-by-play announcer? You know, was it listening to somebody else? How did that happen?
No, I was actually, when growing up in Boston, people would have assumed I might have been a baseball or Red Sox fan, but I really wasn't. I grew up when Bobby Orr and Phil Esposito were with the Boston Bruins, and they were winning Stanley Cups, and all their games were on TV, and the old Boston Garden was packed. You know, back in those days, the New England Patriots, who were really the kings of the Boston area, they were really nothing. They were the Boston Patriots and ran through a bunch of different owners and didn't sell out. Boston Celtics were winning championships, and they weren't selling out. They were always for sale. The Bruins were a stable franchise, and my first love was really hockey. And my thought about getting into sports broadcasting started in Boston as a young person following the Bruins.
Yeah, and you went on to do NHL as well, which is pretty pretty amazing. I mean, at that time when you were starting off doing hockey, did you ever imagine you're going to really blaze the path for play-by-play guys in the sport of soccer?
No, it never would have occurred to me. Never would have dawned on me. I think, though, at a young age, maybe college age, I fell in love with soccer. I watched some of it on the old NASL when Pele first came over here. I think it was ABC that was broadcasting the games, but I think when you saw the skill level of someone like Pelé and your previous guest, Shep Messing, you know, the Cosmos were great back then. And that was my first real love for soccer probably was watching those Cosmos games and listening to Jim Karbeles and Seamus Mallon. And at that point, I probably still didn't know that I would become a soccer guy. That didn't happen until probably the early 80s, and it started actually with indoor soccer, not outdoor.
Jim Karbeles and Seamus Mallon, boy, do I remember them. They were great. They were both excellent. We're talking to J.P. Della Camera, a 25-year veteran of Major League Soccer. He's seen it all. And you've had some of the most iconic – you have had the most iconic calls in U.S. soccer history. Paul Caligiuri to qualify the U.S. for the 90 World Cup in Italy. And then we go to the save by Brianna Scurry as the women won that infamous 99 World Cup. Which one of the two generally gets the edge when people talk to you?
Wow. Tough question. I never pick one, Glenn, but those are the two iconic moments. Whenever I'm called upon to make a speech, those are the two that I hit. Ironically, I probably remember more about the 99 game than I do the one in 89, and not because of the years, but I think in 1989 it was more about the experience that I remember. I can remember vividly that when we went around Trinidad, that people had painted their cars red. They painted their houses red, you know, the national colors of Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, this is a big deal there. The government had declared a national holiday, expecting their team to at least get a draw, which would have qualified them for the World Cup, and it didn't happen. I can remember going to the stadium like 4 hours early, because if I didn't, even though I had a credential, I would not have gotten in. There were scalping tickets. There were counterfeit tickets that were out there. Estimates ranged that day by about 20,000 in terms of what the actual count was on that day. And the Caligiuri goal itself, Glenn, I remember it more from watching it whenever there's an anniversary than I actually remember it from my call on that day, because I think it came from out of nowhere. We didn't know how big that goal was going to be. And you know this from broadcasting too, that when people ask you, you know, what were you thinking then? You're not really thinking then, you know, you're in the moment, right? You know, I know that if Chastain scores, they win the World Cup, right? But I don't think that, wow, this call or this game, it's going to live on forever. You're not thinking about that. You don't even appreciate it probably until, you know, certainly hours later at a minimum, days later maybe, and then I'll go so far as to say years later. And sometimes if I watch a game back, I'll end up appreciating it more because now you remember that it's lasted this long in people's memories, that this was a big deal. This was an iconic game.
Yeah, and my apologies. I said Brianna Scurry save, which set up Brandi Chastain with that remarkable penalty that would win it. Boy, she's had to talk about that penalty a few times, huh?
Yeah, several times, actually. And, you know, the thing that people forget about that is that all the U.S. players made their penalty kicks. Even Mia Hamm, who back then didn't really like to take penalties, made hers. You know, that was clutch. They didn't miss. You know, Brandi gets credit. She was the last kicker to step up, and she makes it, you know. And probably then, she doesn't know either how big that penalty kick was. But, you know, years and years and years later, people are still talking about it. You know, there have been documentaries made about it. There have been commercials where that is played over and over again. You know, Brandi's done much better than Paul when you think about it in terms of visibility and endorsements, right? I mean, Brandi's probably done very well in her career off of that goal. And Caligiuri probably never gets enough attention because it happened, you know, farther back, 10 years earlier than that moment. And so many things have happened on the men's side since then. We've qualified for so many World Cups since then. And a lot of people don't remember it as much because it was not a World Cup goal. It was a World Cup qualifying goal.
Got us back in a World Cup after a long absence in 90 in Italy. We're talking to the legendary broadcaster, J.P. Della Camera. Okay, so if we take out the 99 Women's World Cup win, we take out the Caligiuri qualifying win that gets the U.S. to the World Cup, I think of moments where I've called games in El Salvador or Guatemala or Germany or Mexico. These are memories that will never leave my mind. Where after those two would you find one of your international calls and kind of unique environments?
I don't remember the call, Glenn, or the score, but I remember thinking what a great experience this was calling a game in Cuba, a World Cup qualifier, when at that time, you know, Americans were not allowed to travel to Cuba. We only went there because it was a World Cup qualifier and we had sanctioning by the U.S. government. And Cuba was a fascinating place. You know, we thought that maybe they didn't like Americans. You know, they didn't like leadership in America or in their own country. But they, Americans, they thought we were great. So we had no issues at all in Cuba. You know, if you open your eyes, if you closed your eyes and then you open them, you know, in certain settings in Cuba, you would think you were in a fantastic West Coast city or a Floridian city, maybe. I mean, it was gorgeous in some places of Cuba. I think that setting I remember probably more because no one had gone to Cuba before us. So I think that one for sure. But if you're talking about games, I think that 2015 Women's World Cup final when Carly Lloyd had that brilliant performance and the U.S. beat Japan, and that game, that final also set, broke viewership records that were set in 1999. That's a memorable one too, because the U.S. women had not won since 1999. So that was a big memory too. And I think another one was 2010. Tommy Smith and I were doing it for ESPN Radio. We did the World Cup final, and on that day, Nelson Mandela came out, the late Nelson Mandela, in what was his last public appearance. We were told he was pretty much on his deathbed at that time, wasn't making any trips anywhere, and he comes out in a golf cart, and he goes around the stadium, and people are standing and applauding, and it gave you chills because you saw the love that country had for this man, and we would never have experienced that anywhere else, but there we were in South Africa and could never forget that. And then I think it was months after that, maybe several months, when Mandela finally passed away, but it's something that you would never forget. It was a very chilling moment.
JP, what a great way to end this interview tonight. We're up on a hard break. It's the end of the show. Listen, thank you so much for coming on. You're going to have to come on again, though, because we've had on Dwight Burgess. We've had some guys that have, you know, 25 years since the beginning of MLS been calling games. Dave Johnson, all these colleagues of yours. But we need to get you back on because we need you to kind of talk to aspiring broadcasters at some point. All right?
Anytime.
That work
anytime,
for you?
Anytime, Glenn. Yeah, anytime.
All right.
Anytime for you.
All right,
have a
JP.
Good night.
You too. Thank you so much. Tremendous interview there with JP Della Camera, Shep Messing, Christian Ramirez. Good night on the show tonight. I hope all of you have enjoyed it. Big thanks to Nick Sharara. Also, Andrew Carlson, Victor Ariza. We thank those. GlennDavisSoccer.com. We are up and running over there. Daily blogs. Want you to go check it out. Twitter, GlennDavisSoc. Facebook, Soccer Matters. And then Instagram, GlennDavisSoc. Sorry for all the shameful promotion, but we got to do it. So hope you enjoy the show here tonight. For Nick Sharara, I'm Glenn Davis. Thank you very much for tuning in. And remember, the podcast at podcastarena.com, also on iTunes. Tomorrow night, we get it done in Austin, Texas, on the Horn. So a big thank you again to everybody for tuning in tonight. Stay safe, social distance, wash the hands, honor those that are on the front lines for us. Good night, everyone.